I'm going to turn to the Word of God in Matthew chapter 6. And I'm getting my stopwatch going to make sure I'm aware of my time. You know, last week I've started a series of sermons I'm going to preach from the idea of being distant, distracted, and in a hurry. And it's something that we all face and deal with and walk through, regardless of whether or not you are someone that has walked with the Lord for a long time or you're very new and this is a new context and this is not your normal Sunday routine. The truth is, we all struggle with these things. And today I'm going to zero in on what it means to be distracted and looking at some of those things. But I want to look to a familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. King James says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" The Message version, look at the way that it phrases this familiar passage. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you? Take pride in you? Do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Look at this. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. My message title today is, "May I Have Your Attention, Please." May I have your attention, please. You can be seated today. And I would get in trouble for calling out every event and circumstance, but I do want to say just something to Brother Don Bison, who's here this morning. I know he doesn't want me to call him out, but it's so good to see this morning. Had heart surgery. And I know he's not a pup, he's a private man, but God has blessed him. God is touching his body, and I'm thankful for the work of God. It's so good to see you here today. And I know that's his worst nightmare for me to call him out across the pulpit, but I'm thankful. But let me tell you today that God wants your attention. And I get it. You may be sitting here saying, "Listen, I'm here on a Sunday. It's obvious that I'm giving God my attention," right? You're preaching to the choir, that term of preaching to the people that already know everything you're saying. But, you know, God obviously has my attention. What are you talking about? Why would I preach a message to a majority of Christians who feel like they're probably concerned with what the Lord thinks, feels, cares about, and desires for them? Well, the reason I'm speaking about distractions today is because we are all susceptible to them. Being distant, distracted, in a hurry. And so we're going to talk about some distractions. We're going to talk about those little things that can have you walking away from the Lord without leaving your seat. Now, let me just make sure we're all on the same page here. I'm going to ask you a question. A little self-awareness check. Who all in this place struggles with getting distracted? I'm going to ask that again for everyone that wasn't paying attention. Who struggles with getting distracted, right? It is, thank you. Okay, good. So there's no perfectly pious people in here. We all have our own struggles. Let me ask you this question, a little trivia for today. I don't know what inspired me to think of trivia just out of nowhere. On average, ask you this question. How many times a day do Americans pick up their phone? Think about it. How many times a day, on average, do people pick up their phone? The answer is 205 times. Isn't that kind of wild to think about, just the frequency? Just imagine if you told your wife you loved her 205 times a day. "I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you." That'd be pretty amazing. But it's kind of wild to think about. But I think the shock behind this number, I think to me, is how unintentional sometimes it is that we pick up our phone. 205 times seems wild. Can you give it up for our MD this morning? Backing me up with my trivia music. I'm thankful for that. And but we all struggle with being distracted, and our phone. This is just a peek into this. But I want to speak about this today. I want to speak about distractions and all the things that go along with that. Again, even to those I recognize in here, the majority of people that are here or watching even online would probably say, you know what, I'm a Christian. I endeavor to follow the Lord. I endeavor to do what God would want me to do and do His will for my life. And I appreciate and thank everyone that has made that commitment. Another family I want to point out over here, brother and sister Ash are here, church planters. Thankful that they're with us this morning. Church planting. And they've joining us today. Thankful for them. But there are things that can steal our attention from God. So I'm going to give you three big points about distractions, because there's so much research and information out there about the impacts on our life in a physical sense. But I think sometimes we don't actually stop and think about some of the spiritual, or what I would call soul, implications of something as seemingly harmless as distractions. But number one, I want to tell you that distractions can choke out the Word of God. This is Bible. They can steal your attention from God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, look at this. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Look at the Amplified Version. But the worries and distractions of the world, and the deceitfulness, the superficial pleasures and delight of riches, choke the word, and it yields no fruit. And that's the thing with distractions. They can choke out the word of God, but it's almost what I'm going to reference them as, a silent killer. You don't recognize it. But, you know, sometimes we get caught up in making sure that we are checking the boxes and going through the routines. But let me say it like this. If we were to compare the way we sometimes look at our life to a tree that bears fruit, you don't go up to a tree. If I want to inspect the health of a tree, I'm not going to go to an orchard and then go inside and say, can you give me a schedule of how much you have watered this tree? Can you give me a schedule of everything you've done? No, if you want to see if a tree is healthy, you don't have to go and ask them for the entire schedule and all the things. What can you do? No, you can go to the tree and you can expect and inspect if it is bearing fruit or not, right? I can look at the health of a tree by seeing what it produces, what is produced by the tree. But sometimes we like to say, well, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to church, I'm checking these things, and yet I want to ask you today, look at your life. Is the Word of God bearing fruit in your life, or am I just content to go through a routine? I want to tell you that we need to make sure that the Word of God, the sermons that we hear, our interactions with God, our prayer life is bearing fruit in our life. Are you wiser than you were last year? Do you know the Word more than you did last year? Do you feel closer to God? What are you doing? Because it can't just be about routine. It's got to be about fruit. If we're not careful, the distractions can choke out the Word of God. You call it a distraction, pretending that it only takes a few moments away from whatever is important. But the problem is, if we allow these things that started small to grow and grow and grow, but we always label them as a distraction, we will never address them for what they really are. Because what is a distraction only for a few moments can take over. So what if you say, well, this is just a distraction, pretending like it only takes a few moments away from that important thing. But what if, in fact, the distraction actually becomes your focus? Because we allow it to grow and take more and take more. And here's what I know about what you focus on. What you focus on, you will seek fulfillment from. So the danger is, if I allow these things that I have labeled as just distractions to grow and grow and grow and take over, all of a sudden I will be looking not for fulfillment from the things of God, But I'll be looking at these superficial things for fulfillment that God never intended to bring it to me. It's choking out the word of God. Author and pastor John Ortberg says this: for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. Let me speak to somebody today that one thing if it was maybe a mistake or a failure. And although that is difficult, it's also in some ways simple to call out, because you may know, I need to do this to move forward. But the problem is, when you are someone that professes, as I do, to follow Christ and to live a life that will be pleasing unto Him, and yet these things that you have labeled as distractions, because you say, oh, it's just a distraction, it's not a big deal, and yet it creeps and it creeps and it creeps and it grows and it grows. This thing, because I haven't labeled it for what it is slowly and silently killing my walk with God, but I let it because I just call it a distraction. Just a distraction. So distractions can choke out the word of God. Number two, I want to tell you that the next step is distractions can kill your purpose. Now, I recognize that the word kill in this context is strong. It's a strong word, because by definition, distractions are supposed to be small things, only minor things that take away from the main thing. But distraction can kill purpose, because you and I convince ourselves that we're not abandoning what's important. We're not abandoning our purpose. We're just taking a temporary break from it. But the problem is, this temporary break doesn't stay temporary. And all of a sudden, distraction can become addiction. And what was healthy for 5 minutes is now unhealthy and detrimental at 4 hours. And so again, because I refuse to relabel something other than just distraction, I allow something that was fine and healthy and okay for just a few minutes, I allow it to take over my life, and all of a sudden I can't figure out why I don't feel connected to the Lord. I can't figure out why I don't feel like I have any purpose. Well, it's because I'm giving my life over to distraction. And again, the danger is, it may not be something terrible, but let me just say, if you like solitaire, you would probably not come down to the front and think, you know what, I need you to pray for me because I play solitaire for 10 hours a day. Listen, I tried to choose something that I don't know. If there is someone that is addicted to solitaire, just take this as a word from the Lord. He's speaking right to you. You can come down to the front and we'll pray right now publicly. But if you do, there's other things in this world from solitaire, I promise. I hope my grandma's not watching. Grandma, if you're watching, you can continue to play solitaire as much as you want. She loves solitaire. But we wouldn't probably think even to focus on that. But is it not the case that some things we look to, okay, you know what I need to fix in my life? These are the problems. But yet, that small, maybe healthy thing, when it's in its proper place, is no problem. But because I've allowed it to go unchecked, now I can't figure out why I can't connect with God. I can't figure out why I don't feel like I have any purpose. Well, the truth may not be some big red flag that you can obviously look to. Could it be something as simple as unchecked distractions? Again, the problem is, those temporary things don't stay temporary. Romans 12, another very familiar passage of Scripture. Look at the New Living Translation of this, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice. The way we live should be a sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. What are the behaviors of this world? The behaviors of this world are: feed yourself, feed your flesh, feed your pleasures, feed yourself now. You don't have to wait for gratification. You can get it now. That is what this world says is the custom that you should follow. But look at what it says. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We talk about God's will. And yes, there is a will of the Lord for every human being. There's a will for us to come back to communion with Him. And He's provided a way for us to do that. We're supposed to go and make disciples. We're supposed to, there's things that we have all been commissioned to do. But I also believe that God has a specific desire for your life. But if you just follow and copy the customs of this world, then you cannot be transformed. Your mind cannot be transformed by the power of God. And if your mind cannot be transformed, then how are you supposed to know the will of God? So let me tell somebody, you just need to reset your mind and say, you know what? I'm sick of falling into the trap of distraction and allowing things that I don't think are a big deal consume my every waking moment, because God wants to transform the way you think today. Distractions. Unhealthy digital addictions flourish. You know why? Because we fail to see the consequences. And again, I substituted that word, because if I keep saying distractions, we will even in hearing it, you will continue to label it as something insignificant. You know, your digital distractions. You would say, okay, that's acceptable. But when I say digital addictions, that simple relabeling shifts your perspective. But is that not more an apt? If you pick up your phone 200 times a day, name something else you do that many times that you would not call a compulsory response. Nothing else. So let's call it what it is. Let's label it in a way. And this is not a medical diagnosis. I'm trying to give you a frame of thinking. I'm trying to get you to understand if these things remain unchecked. And we understand the consequences of some things, but other things are so private to our life that we don't get it. Listen, growing up, just maybe if you grew up going to camp or youth retreats, okay, this was a common thing. If you brought a CD that you should not be listening to youth retreat, okay, that was a bad move. You know why? Because at some point, okay, you're going to be out there and there's going to be a bonfire. Does anybody know where this is going? Okay, anybody go to these kind of youth retreats? You know what I'm talking about? If you grew up around going to church camp and youth retreats, at some point, the minister would speak about the things that were bad for your mind and think, you know, all this garbage in, garbage out, that kind of stuff. And at some point, through tear-stained eyes, you would reach under your mattress and you would get that CD and you would take it and you would throw it into the bonfire and watch it burn. I've heard other people have told me that was a thing. I've heard that. But it was a simple response, right? I don't want to go off on a tangent, but think about it. For me, if I had a CD, this was the influence that was not impactful. If I burned it, I just removed it in all essence. But guess what? The problem is you can remove it today and pick it up tomorrow. You can remove it now and pick it back up before you've even left the parking lot. The immediacy of your distractions is what makes them so easy to fall back into. Whereas, the principles are the same, but previous generations, maybe I could easily create boundaries. Now, boundaries are so difficult to create because they have to be maintained every single day. You've got to make that decision. But if we're not careful, distractions, yes, simple little distractions can kill your purpose. The consequences of these things can be so dire. When we've started to see the consequences of social media usage and all this kind of stuff, we've looked at, there's studies out there, but what about the spiritual consequences? Do we really stop and even think about some of these things, the relational consequences? What about you when you are struggling with what you are supposed to be doing and what your purpose is? Well, how can distractions kill your purpose? Well, think about it like this. I believe that purpose can live right outside the defense line of your daily tasks. And if you're not careful, we will allow distraction to eat up all of our margin, to eat up all of our ability. But because we just barely get enough done, because we just clock in a little bit, because we just say hello to our spouse, or we just say hello to our kids for 1 second, we fool ourselves into thinking we're fulfilling our purpose when we just clocked in. Let me pause and talk to parents for a moment. And although this is directly to parents, I think the principle applies. Did you know that there's a couple of sobering statistics? They say that children between the ages of 10 and 17 are now experiencing more than one-third fewer face-to-face interactions with other people in their lifetimes as a result of the increasingly electronic culture all around them. Over one-third fewer face-to-face interactions in their lifetime. Did you know that in conversation, I want you to ask you a question. How often do you make eye contact with your children? How often do you really make eye contact? They say, psychiatrists say that in conversation, eye contact is needed for 60 to 70% of the conversation in order for an emotional connection to be made. Thanks to screen culture, the average adult now makes eye contact only 30% of the time in a conversation. I want to give you this statistic about your children. 75% of the time you will spend with your kids in your lifetime will be spent by the age of 12. You thought it'd be higher than that. But if you look at it, by the time a student turns 16, 17, gets a license, they have more autonomy. It's pretty sobering to think about that. But, and this is just to me, let me just speak to myself and where I am. That this is the danger, is that my children are so used to seeing me with a phone. If I'm not careful, this is how the conversations with my children will be. Hey, sweetheart, yes. Answering a question, engaging with them. And why is it that way? Well, because I'm big and they're little and they can't advocate for themselves. But take that same dynamic. Imagine you and I were at dinner and we were talking and this is how I was talking to you across the table. Oh, how are you doing? Oh, yes, you're very important. What am I communicating? Obviously, it would be unacceptable. But children don't know to even say that or speak that. Why? Because they're used to this. So for me, for parents, I just want you to think about that. And I want to maybe ask you a question. What would it look like if this week in the evening you gave your child 45 minutes of undivided attention doing whatever they want to do? Would that be normal or would that be drastically different for you? If so, why? And I'm taking that as an example specifically to parents, but zoom out. Even if you don't have children, I hope you can understand the impact and the power of what I'm saying. That I'm not talking about some deep, dark sin. I'm not trying to uncover some horrible habit that you do. I'm talking about distractions. It's no big deal. No, I'm telling you that those seemingly innocent distractions, because you just keep calling them distractions and because they run rampant, they're in danger of suffocating your relationship with God. They're in danger of suffocating your relationship with your spouse. They're in danger of suffocating your relationship with your children. They will kill your purpose. They will take everything from you because we don't call them out for what they are. I'm telling you that God is standing here saying, may I have your attention, please? Can I just get you to give me some attention to understand that I'm trying to speak to you? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to guide you. I'm trying to lead you. But I can't do anything if I don't have your attention. God is trying to get your attention. Distractions can choke out the word of God. Distractions can kill your purpose. And finally, distractions can cut off communication from God. Can cut off communication. Because you can get so focused on things that you forget the main thing. I'm not even talking about getting, again, lost in a life of sin and things that God would call evil or wrong. I'm talking about our attention. Look at the story of Mary and Martha, these two sisters. In Luke chapter 10, we get a little bit of insight. In verse 38, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Not much sinning, much serving. Seems noble. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Matthew Henry's commentary expounds like this. The many things that she was troubled with were needless, while the one thing she neglected was needful. Martha's care and work were good in their proper season and place, but now she had something else to do. which was unspeakably more needful and therefore should be done first and most minded. I love that phrase, most minded. She expected Christ to have blamed Mary for not doing as she did, but he blamed her for not doing as Mary did. Because in this moment, there were many things, but when Jesus stepped in to speak, all of these other things became needless, and the one thing became needful. That's what I'm here to tell you today. There's so many things in your life that are important in their proper place, at the proper time, in their proper season. But if we give those things all of our attention, then when the Lord speaks, when the one thing that we need to be listening for and listening to, the most needful thing, will not get any attention. You know, real quick, I want to give you an answer you've been looking for. And you may think, you can't give me this answer because you don't know my wife. But I'm going to tell you what your wife wants for her birthday. You don't think I know this, do you? I'm going to tell you what your wife likes for her birthday. I'm just going to tell you right now. And no matter what stage of life, no matter how long you've been married, this works. What your wife wants for her birthday is your full attention. Ladies, am I right? Now, you may say that's oversimple, but let me remove that from the equation. Okay? If I give my wife affection, but she doesn't have my attention, then my affection is built on nothing. Right? If my attention is not on my wife and all I do is just every once in a while give a gesture, but it's not on a foundation of attention, then that becomes something that doesn't mean anything to her because she knows it's not in line with who I am. But on the other hand, if I'm focused on giving my wife attention, then guess what? Everything else I need to know will flow from that one commitment. Because if I give her attention, I know what she needs. If I give her attention, I know the things she likes. I know the things that she doesn't like. What I'm saying today is if you come here on a Sunday, dress nice, come to church, and give God some affection, but on Monday you're not giving God attention, then you can get up from your seat and you're welcome to go home. Because I don't care as much about giving God just affection in public. I want to know, are you giving the Lord attention every single day? Are you giving attention to his word? Are you giving attention to prayer? Are you giving God your attention? The Lord is here today and he's saying, may I have your attention, please? God desires your attention. Stand with me. I'm coming to a close. God wants your attention. The difficulty that we face with distractions is unique. Because if it was some large problem, if it was some large sin, if it was some difficult thing, although, as I mentioned, although very difficult, sometimes we know what to do. But if it is an addiction that we continue to label distraction, we don't even address it. So you may come to the altar and you're saying, Lord, this is what I need you to fix. This is what I need you to do. I feel like I'm so distant from where I'm supposed to be. I feel like I'm so distant from who I'm supposed to be. I feel like I'm so distracted all the time. I just can't focus. I can't seem just to lock in with what I want to do. And I feel like I'm just always in a hurry. But think about this with me. And this is something that we all will face in different ways, in different forms. You ever felt society has a lot of research and time into this feeling of being distant from where we're supposed to be, this idea of purpose, this idea of who am I, all these things. You could pinpoint a couple of things that are valid in their own way and certainly play a point in low self-esteem or, you know, traumatic events and the ways people have spoken to you or your environment and all these things. But I would just like to say that there's a current that runs under all of the symptoms that cause you to feel distant, and it is the disconnect from maybe where you are and where God has made you to be, the person that God has made you to be, the potential that God has called you to fulfill, the person that he created you to be. You know, I read this, an author said, as a child, I always thought that adults were whoever they wanted to be. that's when you're an adult, you're just whoever you want to be. But how many times, we adults, don't raise your hand, but how many times have you thought to yourself or prayed or wondered, I am nowhere close to where I want to be. I'm not quite who I want to be. There's a disconnect. There's a something missing. And again, we start with that distance. And so what do? We feed our self-distraction. We gorge on distractions because there's a gnawing sense. All is not well. Something's missing. But sometimes because we don't know what button to push or what lever to pull, we just dive into the world of distraction. Put this in a literal sense. Maybe it's that you get home at night and when you're finally alone and thoughts of eternity begin to come in, or thoughts of who you are, or deep thoughts begin to settle because the busyness of the day is over. You don't want to face that. So you pull out a distraction and begin feeding on that. But then you stay up too late. You lose your sense of purpose for the day. You blow the routine. So the next day, you're a little sleep deprived. Maybe you miss your alarm. Maybe you're late for what you need to do. And now what? Now that you felt distant, your self-esteem's lower, you just fed yourself distraction as long as you could, you got a little bit of sleep, so now you're late. So guess what the rest of your day is? Rushed. You're in a hurry. So now, what does that mean? You're short with your spouse. Not because something's wrong, not because they did something, because this is the product of this distance that we feel. And I'm saying today that there are many practical things, and we're going to continue to speak about that, but there's something that is not, it's not skin deep, it's soul deep. And if you don't address it on the soul level, the symptoms will keep popping up in different ways. And I'm all for time management, productivity, and all that kind of stuff. But what I'm just saying, that this simple message, if nothing else, I appreciate what I would call coming to church. There's, and I'm not trying to minimize the impact, but if you come to church on a Sunday but don't focus on the Lord the rest of the week, it's like a relationship where you give affection sporadically but no attention consistently. Do you understand? But that's what we are susceptible to fall into, that trap. And it's a trap laid for us by distractions. Not some big ominous sin, no, the simple thing of distractions. We're going to continue to talk about this. I want to give you the cycle of busyness. This is what happens. Ready? Number one, Christians, all of us, we assimilate into a culture of busyness and hurry and overload and just stuffing our life full. We begin to assimilate into that culture. So what's the result? Number two, God becomes marginalized in our life, right? We find a way that church, God, can fit and serve our life. And I'm just going to say, if you're a guest, I've got no apologies for this. I'm pretty radical in the way that I think about the way I live my life, because I'm not interested in making sure that God fits into the schedule and pocket of my life. I want to make sure that my life is wrapped around His word and His will. And that goes for everything. That goes for my time, that goes for my family, that goes for my finances, everything. It's all to God, whatever it looks like. So we assimilate into busyness. God becomes marginalized. Then that marginalized relationship with God begins to deteriorate because we've made it so small. Then because that marginalized relationship begins to deteriorate, guess what? We are more vulnerable to adopting ungodly ways of living. Why? Because we're going to start seeking fulfillment. We're going to start seeking a fix because we made God so small and the hole is now so big. So we try to fill it. So guess what? Because we try to fill it, what do? We conform to a culture of busyness, and the cycle starts over again and again. We get busier. We push God smaller. Things fall apart. We have a gaping hole. So we get busier. What I'm saying is the Lord is trying to speak to you today but it starts with giving him your attention. So where are you on this path? Number one, maybe the first step, choking out the word of God. Let me tell you something. Not my sermon. This word of the Lord is for everybody. This is for everyone. If you are not careful, if this is your first time with us today, let me tell you, allow the word of God to speak to you. If you immediately just shift your mind to something else and move on, something as simple as a distraction, like thorns that choke out a seed from growing. It's like those thorns that can choke out the word of God. But it also happens if you've been walking with the Lord for 30 plus years, you are just as susceptible, because we are all susceptible to distractions. So number one, I don't want distractions to choke out the word of God. Number two, it can kill your purpose. If you feel like, you know what, I just feel like I have no purpose in my life. I feel like I'm just kind of meandering. I'm just wandering. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to lock in and plug in? How am I supposed to feel? And you're looking for the big thing that you can fix. If I just remove this dam, then all of a sudden everything will flow. And that could be the case, but could it be the things that you have mislabeled as distractions that are actually relationship killers? Because they take so much time, they take so much attention, they take so much margin, they just take so much that now you don't have time to focus on the Lord. You don't have time to settle in His Word. You don't have time to slow down. And then finally, maybe you are past those. You don't focus on the Word of God. You don't even feel like you have purpose. And now maybe you would say, you know what? I feel like I can't even talk to God. Let me pull the fire alarm in your life, please. And I'm not pushing you to hype you up to an emotional response. I'm trying to prod you spiritually to say, if you feel today, I just feel like I can't hear from the Lord. When I pray, I feel like nothing happens. I feel like I can't communicate. Could it be? Yes, there might be some major thing you need to remove. But guess what? If you're feeling that way and you can't quite put your finger on it, you probably would have already figured that out. Could it be those distractions that have just gone unchecked and all of a sudden they've overwhelmed your good intentions because you've mislabeled things that had you bound as just distractions? Again, you're distant from who you want to be. You're distracted by the mess that you feed yourself. You try to escape that knowledge that I've made a mistake, or I'm not where I'm supposed to be, or I'm not measuring up. And so you sleep in, you miss your alarm, and now you're rushed. Where are you in this cycle? Because we are all susceptible. I know this is a different sermon today, but I'm trying to help somebody, because I don't want you to be caught in the trap of distraction and your feet stay right in the sanctuary, but your heart walks out those doors and you leave your walk with God, not physically, but spiritually. I've preached this before, but what I would hate to happen is that we would be physically present but spiritually absent. And so what I want to do, I want to pray over you, and then I want to urge you, not because I've necessarily pushed an emotional moment, and although our worship team is going to sing and music does evoke emotion, the Lord made it that way. But I want to pray over you, and then I want to encourage you either to come down to the front and gather on and pray, or to pray right where you are. But I want to encourage you today, do not leave this place until you analyze some of those things. Lord, do distractions choke out your word? Or do I focus and allow your word to take root? Do I feel like I've got purpose in my life? Do I feel like I know what I'm supposed to do? If not, maybe it's not some big glaring problem. Maybe it's those hundreds of little distractions I just allow to take over, take over, take over. If I can't feel like I can connect with God, could it be I'm so distracted I can't slow down enough to connect with Him? I want you to pray over those three things. But I want to pray over you, and then I want you to pray. Let's pray together right now. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you for what you're doing in this hour. Lord, I pray today, God, that we would be attentive to your voice. God, I pray that we would give you our attention, because I know, Lord, if we give you our undivided attention, everything else will flow from that. Lord, you see the people that are struggling with situations in their life. God, and you know if there's someone that has a need in their body or a need in their finances, I know that you can meet those needs. But also, Lord, I want to speak to those people who maybe it's not intentional, but we allow the cares of this life and those simple distractions to choke out your word, to steal the things you're trying to do, to steal our purpose, or to cut off communication from you. So today, Lord, I declare that we're going to take back our walk with you. We're going to take back our relationship with our spouse or our children. We're not going to allow distractions to cut us off from you, Lord. I pray that we would take this seriously, God, and not just think that it's some small, simple thing, but we would take it to heart and understand that you want to speak through the noise. You want to speak through the distractions and transform our minds today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Would you find a place to pray? I want to encourage you. Would you take a few moments and come down to the front and rededicate yourself to the Lord and say, God, I want your word to take root in my life. I don't want it to be choked out by distractions. Maybe you want to kneel right where you are if you want to sit and pray, but I want to encourage you and urge you to not leave this place until you pray over your life and say, Lord, if there are distractions that are taking me away from you, let me see them for what they are and change them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Let's pray all across this place.
I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning.